Our message today, confidence in who Jesus is brings peace in understanding that He has opened the way for me to enter heaven if I choose to follow Him. And this will give me rest now, knowing that it's not dependent on a long list of to-dos. It takes only a surrendered heart that's willing to walk towards Jesus. The rest is covered. And we're going to be reading through Hebrews 3 and 4. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, let's make this very simple. Jesus called me to follow Him. Jesus called you to follow Him. Together, we're the family of God. It's very simple. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, to God the Father, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Fix your thoughts on Jesus above all other leaders, great and small. He alone has ransomed your soul and has promised to prepare a place for you in heaven. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Now I want to skip down to verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice. Do you hear God's voice? Maybe you don't really understand what that's all about. Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you've heard about hearing God speak to people and you wonder how loud and audible a voice that is. Well, let me share something with you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His promise is to send the Holy Spirit to live in your heart. What the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart is growing you, drawing you away from the things that are going to hurt you, and drawing you towards the things of God that are going to give blessing and great joy in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. And how God speaks to us is the Holy Spirit repeats what He hears from Jesus. That's what Scripture tells us. The Holy Spirit living in our heart then prompts us to respond to what Jesus is calling us to do. So if I'm walking through life and I see this over here and I want to walk towards this because it looks pleasing to me and it looks like something I might want to do, and the Holy Spirit knows that that's not following according to God's words. But if that's not what God wants me to do, then as I'm coming this direction, the Holy Spirit is going to prompt my heart. He's going to bring conviction. He's going to get my attention inside. And suddenly this isn't going to feel so right. Now at that point, I have an option. I can choose to override it and I can continue in the way I want to go. Or I can pause and say, what's this inside me? Is there something wrong with what I'm about to do? Is there something that's leading me in a different direction? The prompting of the Holy Spirit, God speaking to our hearts, leading us in things, is in our hearts. It's a conviction, a direction in our hearts to go in a different direction than that which we were going. It can be the same way with doing something positive. We could see someone who's in desperate need. And we could see that our life is busy. And we got a lot on our plate right now. And I really can't take the time to do this. And we go to walk by. And that conviction, that voice in our heart, that prompting says, I want you to do this right now. This person needs God, and you're His hands and feet. You're here to represent Him. I want you to stop and give attention where it's needed right now. It's not all negative. Sometimes it's positive, but that's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, leading us in, drawing us to. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. For 40 years, the people wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites, they saw the hand of God moving right before their eyes. They saw water come from a rock. They saw water split so they could walk through on dry land. They were fed manna that just appeared in the mornings. They were fed quail that just happened to fall into their camp so much that they could eat all they wanted. They saw the hand of God move. And they still didn't turn to Him. For 40 years they tested and tried me. Do not harden your heart. Do not let your heart become callous. Do not lose feeling in your heart of the wrong of sin. Verse 10, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. Here's a truth that's found in God's holy word. He knew every detail of every person from the very beginning of creation. He also knew in advance every heart that would ever turn and follow His teachings. In that, He also knew every heart that would not be set on Him, that would falter, and that would turn away. Though He still gives every person the opportunity to know Him, He knows which ones will never come around. We talk about God knowing the beginning from the end. He knows every detail. Nothing is hidden from Him. But in that, we've got to receive that God also knows every heart that will never be set on Him when the end of their life comes. Whether they knew Him, like the ones knocking on heaven's gate, saying, Lord, Lord, let me in. Look at all this we've done. Look at all the things we've experienced where we've seen your hand. And He says, away from me, I never knew you. Your heart was never mine. It could be that people knew Him at one point in their life but turned because that was more attractive than what God had for me in this moment. And I walked away from God to go do this. So I declare on oath my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Because their hearts would never be set on Him, they would never experience the rest that God has planned for His children. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's verse 12, read right out of your Bible. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Sin separates us from God. Finding pleasure in various things that God instructs us against leads us away from God. If your heart is harboring some sort of sin, you will be in constant internal conflict trying to follow God. Eventually, if you're unwilling to turn from that sin, you will turn your heart from God. Verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What is sin's deceitfulness? Sin's deceitfulness sounds like this. It's covered by grace. It's not hurting anyone. No one even knows. No one even cares. I'm a good person. This is nothing compared to what others are doing. This thing that God says not to do, it's okay. I can do it. Don't rationalize sin. Take the sting out of doing wrong. Don't become numb to it. Sin, no matter what sin, causes separation in us from God. Verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Our original conviction is this. Lord Jesus, forgive me, I've sinned. Thank you for saving my soul. Help me to turn from these sins and follow you. My original conviction was on the day that I first acknowledged Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I was wrong. I want to do right. Please forgive me. Don't lose your sense of right and wrong. Hold on to your original conviction that you needed Jesus to save your soul. 15, as has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter rest because of their unbelief. They were not able to enter into rest in the Lord because even though they had seen great and amazing works of God, they didn't believe completely that it was God, the God of the universe, who was doing these things, these amazing things in their sight. They couldn't rest because they didn't understand that they were in the presence of God Almighty. They didn't have confidence in Him. Confidence in God leads to peace with the outcome. And peace with the outcome of my life will allow me to rest in the journey. You see, we keep referring in this scripture, the author of Hebrews keeps referring back to the Israelites and Moses. And so in case you don't know, let's go over this story just a little bit. 400 years before this event happened, God said it was going to happen. And then He lined up everything in history to us in advance to the people who would be there so that it would happen perfectly just as He planned. But in that, He knew the human heart of everybody that would be involved. And so there was going to be things that happened that didn't look like they were of God. But because we know that our God knows all, we know that He saw this long in advance. So Moses was sent to the Israelites, who were slaves in Egypt. And God said, I want you to lead them to the promised land, the land that I promised to Abraham. And so Moses went. And through a series of events, Moses started leading these Israelites, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people and animals. He started leading them to the promised land. Along the way, the people saw amazing things. But after each one, they lost focus on what had happened in their lives, what had happened right before their eyes. And they began to grumble and complain about the situation they were in over and over again. They forgot about what Jesus was doing in their lives right then. And they started looking back to life as it was. No matter what they experienced, no matter what God did in their lives, they couldn't keep their heart set on Him. They couldn't place their confidence in the God who was doing all this stuff around them. They kept looking elsewhere. They kept looking for what they wanted in their lives. They kept looking for their own pleasures and losing focus on God. For we also, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, the good news of being in the hand of God. He has come. He's working in our lives right now. He has rescued us from the pain that we were in, the suffering that we were enduring. He will lead us to the promised land. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. You know, these Israelites were being led to the promised land, and when they got there, they got to the edge of it. They sent in a few to scout out the land and see all that God had promised for them in this great land. And when they went in, there was two that saw the glory of God. They saw all the blessings that awaited them in this land. But the rest of the people that went in, they saw all the misery, all the fear, all the things that could come against them. They didn't have confidence in the God who had been leading them all this way. They had fear of what the world had to show them. And they couldn't progress forward with confidence in God. They began to crouch down in fear. Verse 3, we who have believed enter that rest. Just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Those who believe, us, enter and rest in the Lord. But those who see and still don't believe, those who hold on to their old thoughts and won't turn their hearts to God, they never can enter His rest because their confidence is never in Him and what He's capable of, what He's already done for us, what He's already laid out, that He saw the beginning from the end and He planned it all so that we could be with Him. Confidence is never there for some people. And they can never find rest because their confidence is not in God. And yet His works have been finished since the creation of the world. Earlier I pointed out that God knew every detail about you and me when He created the universe. Every detail of our lives was worked out according to yours and my heart. Why do I say that? Because God knew what would be in our hearts when we faced each moment of our life. He knew our hearts from the beginning of time. And because He knew every heart at that moment, He knew what hearts would turn to Him and what hearts would not. When we talk about Jesus on Calvary covering the sins of everyone who would ever love Him and place their faith in Him, He knew, God knew at that time that Jesus was hanging on that cross, every heart that would be saved because they would turn to Him. When God created the universe and on the seventh day God rested, His works had been finished since the creation of the world. Verse 4, for somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all His works. Verse 5, and again in the passage above He says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This He did when a long time later He spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. The mercy of God keeps calling out and drawing people to Him. He is not slow in bringing the end about, as some consider slowness, but instead He is patient, not wanting anyone to be lost along the way. We talk about the end is near. A couple of messages ago, I asked some questions, and I didn't say the end is near. But the questions I asked alluded to what's going on in our world today and what the book of Revelation says. But even unbelievers know that in church they talk about the end is near. When we watch movies, we see the person running around in the movie saying, the end of times is near, and they make fun of it. And God knows it. He knows every heart. He knows the ones who are receiving that He wants us to be prepared for when that day comes, for when our personal end comes. Whether He comes and takes us out of this world as a group, or whether He comes and welcomes you into heaven alone today. He wants us to be prepared for when that day comes. And He's patient, not slow, not wanting anyone to miss the opportunity to be with Him in eternity. Verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. If your heart is set on Christ as your Lord and Savior, your works are merely the desire of an obedient heart. You can rest from the idea that you need to earn your way into heaven because you understand that Jesus paid that way. Verse 11, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." If your heart is set on Christ, make every effort to enter and rest in confidence that He has covered you. Verse 12, "For the Word of God is alive and active." When I started this message today, I talked about too much meat. And as I was going through these two chapters of Scripture and seeing that every verse, sometimes every half verse, there was a pause to stop and explain what was being said. And I sat down to start writing it all out. And I realized that here I understand that I'm overwhelming the people. And yet I can't get through these two chapters without stopping constantly to explain. I have to stop here. The Word of God is alive and active. It's important that we understand this. No matter who you are, no matter what you're facing, your Bible is alive and active. This is what that means. When you pick up the Word of God and you start reading through it, God knows your heart. He knows what's going on in your life right now. He knows what's led you to these points in your life. And in His Word, it's going to speak to you right now. As you read through these words, God is going to lead you. He's going to instruct you. He may even rebuke you, which has happened to me, which means that He's going to say, "This is in your life and I don't want it there. You need to remove it so that we can move forward." But when I start reading through the verses that spoke to me last year, I'm in a different place this year. But those same words that spoke to me in this way last year now speak to me in this way. They're alive. They're active. They're growing with me moment by moment. From wherever I am today, these words will speak to us. "Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God cuts through all the phony facades. It gets right to the point. Your thoughts and attitudes reveal what's truly hiding in your heart." And that's the core of what the Holy Spirit is working out in you. The Word of God cuts right to what's really going on inside of you. Verse 13, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Nothing in your heart escapes God's Word, that sharp double-edged sword. It's written in a strategic way to divide out the damaging thoughts and habits from the righteous ones, cutting deep and precise to separate twists on God's truth with our personal evil desires. The Word of God is sharp enough to divide the facts from the fiction. Just quickly, in case you're not following me on this, the devil in Scripture is described as being deceitful and tricky, very sly in what he does. The devil knows what's in this Bible. We see him quote it to Jesus. The devil will take what's in the Bible and he'll put a slight twist on it that feeds our personal desires, that feeds what we want it to say. And if we accept those twists that feed our thoughts, our egos, then are we following the Word of God? Or are we following our own personal evil desires? If we go to the Word of God, this sharp double-edged sword, and we read through it, we will see the words that are really in here. We will see like Jesus did when the devil was quoting Scripture to Jesus. He was dividing out the facts from the fiction and showing that just because I want to rule the world in my human body doesn't mean that that's God's will. If we read God's Word, it will divide out the fact from the fiction and we will see the truth of what God is saying. Verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hold firmly to your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Remember that he has interceded for you and is seated at the right hand of the Father, continuing to claim you as his own. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Jesus is sitting next to God, our Heavenly Father, and his heart feels for all that you face. It's easy to speak of compassion, but Jesus knows firsthand the pain, the temptation that each of us faces. He's experienced the lure, the hurt, the tears. He intercedes for you from a heart filled with compassion. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. With all this that we've brought to light today, let your heart be filled with confidence in who Jesus is to you, what you have because of him. And approach God's throne of grace with bold confidence because Jesus reveals your heart to the Father. He speaks on your behalf so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Many times I've not completely shared what our prayer chain is prayed about, but that where our prayer chain has collectively prayed for things that people were facing, sicknesses, struggles, whatever, and that we've seen the hand of God move. Not too long ago, we received a prayer request for a missing person. And in my heart was not the entire prayer that I prayed, but come to the throne of God with boldness. And as I prayed, as we all prayed, and came boldly to the throne of God, nothing in this world can pass by God without him allowing it. Nothing is beyond his ability. Nothing is too big or too small for him to care about or to act on. And the response I got a short time later was, wow, I can't believe how fast God acted once people started praying. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly before your Father. The path has been made for you to enter that place by Jesus. The righteousness that he has covered on each of us. Jesus intercedes for me. Jesus intercedes for you. Through him, we can approach God and find mercy and grace to carry us on. The whole point of this message today, though it's packed with tons of additional teachings, is to have confidence in God, which leads us to peace in his faithfulness to carry out all that he has promised. And that leads us to rest in him. Confidence in God brings peace and knowing that He promised a certain outcome and He will carry it through, which allows me to rest now in this journey that I face. You cannot have this peace, though, if you cannot find confidence in what lies ahead. But if you gain confidence in what awaits you in the unforeseen, then peace will rest on you, knowing that your Lord has promised long-term good to you. No matter what treasures you store up here on earth, they cannot bring you peace when the day comes to cross into eternity. The peace that passes understanding on that day is knowing that God has revealed Himself to me, and I can trust that He will be waiting for me on the other side of that last breath. Do you have peace when your last breath comes? Do you have confidence that Jesus has wrapped you in His righteousness, covering over your sins and allowing you to enter heaven just as if you had never sinned? Do you understand that I'm not standing here today because I've gained great wisdom in scriptures and I want to show you all I know? The reason I stand up here Sunday after Sunday is because God became real to me. The truth of who Jesus is in this world and what He's done for each of us became real to me, and I want it to be real to you too. He revealed His hand moving in my life in such a way that I no longer had question about whether He was real or not. I have confidence in what Jesus has done already in me. The only question that remained was, how can I know that I will enter heaven when I pass from this life? How can I know that I'm one of the people who He saved? And as we discussed last week, we know this by searching our own hearts. Is my heart set on the fact that Jesus paid my debt and covered me in His righteousness? That He's my Savior? Am I behaving in a way that shows that my heart is set on following Jesus and His teachings? That He's the Lord of my life, my ultimate leader? Has the Holy Spirit been sent to live in my heart? Is He tugging on my heartstrings and leading me in the righteous ways of Christ? Do I have the promise for all believers? Is there evidence of work being done in my heart? Last week, I had the opportunity to sit down after service with 6 or 8 people. They had more questions about the sermon. One person that person's family has come to me and said, I don't know if they're saved. I got to talk to one of these people about where their heart is with God. The answers to these 3 questions that I just said: do I know that Jesus is my Savior? Do I know that He's the Lord of my life? That He's my leader? That He's showing me the way? And is the promise for all believers active in my heart? When I got to the 3rd one, I said, do you feel the Holy Spirit working in your life? Prompting you on right and wrong? And this person was able to say yes to all 3 of these questions. With confidence, I can say that if we know in our heart all 3 of these are a yes, then we know that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. This is where my confidence comes. I set my heart on following the one who came and paid the debt. I follow Him because I trust that He knows the best way. And I know that this is not all in my head, because the Holy Spirit has led me in ways that didn't make sense to me at the time, but became great blessings when I listened and obeyed. Because I have the confidence to follow His leading, because I trust that His plans are to prosper me and lead me into a blessed future, because I have faith that God is real, I have peace that my last breath here on earth will be followed by my first breath in paradise, looking at the outstretched hand of my merciful Savior. In this message today lays the words, fix your thoughts on Jesus. In all you face in this world, turn back to these words. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. He has paid the debt of everyone who will turn to Him as Lord. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. He has promised to bring hope and a great future to those who choose Him. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. He has suffered, He has been tempted, and He has been bruised and bloodied by this world we live in. He understands what wants to run through your mind as you go through the pains of this evil and broken world. But He tells us, don't give in to the temptations. I beat the temptations and so can you. Follow my voice. Set your eyes on me. Reach for my hand. I'll lead you through. The other side will be 1,000 times better. I promise. Place your confidence in the one who never lies and let his promises wash over your soul. With confidence in the one who saves, you will find great peace in eternity. And nothing this world throws at you will shake that peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, all worldly understanding. Because your confidence is in the promises of God, whom can be trusted to do exactly as he says. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Think over all that he's promised. And let it build confidence in you. Store that confidence in your heart as the unbreakable word of God and let peace carry you through this journey. Peace that God has made the way. Peace that God has made the promise. Peace that God has made your new home and he's made it uniquely yours. It's waiting for you. Jesus said he was going to prepare it for you and he has. Peace that because you set your heart on him, the hope of a great and glorious future is yours today. A promise that the devil can never touch. It's your eternal promise. Just listen and follow Jesus to it. In this message, I want to give opportunity. When we have confidence in who God is and what he's done in our lives, we can have peace in knowing that he will carry through his promise. When we have peace and understanding that no matter what we face, no matter what we think the future holds for us, we know that God said, "This is the future that awaits all who believe in me." We can have peace and understanding that that's where we're going. And when we have that peace, we can rest in knowing that there's nothing more that we need to do except follow him to what he's promised for his believers. We don't do this often, but we should. Because we never know what anybody in this place is going through on a moment-to-moment basis. And as we gather together, we should always give the opportunity for some heart to be reset or to come to God in the first place. As you rest in this moment, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but something in you desires the peace of knowing what your eternity holds, and you want Jesus in your heart, he is the way. He is the truth. If you want Jesus in your heart, there's no pressure on you. But this is your opportunity to acknowledge before God that you want Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus before and you want him today, today is your day. Also, we should never gather without giving opportunity for hearts to be restored to Jesus. This world's full of brokenness and evil. And Scripture assures us that the devil's desire is to get you to walk away from God, to get you to sit down and give up. And so maybe that's you today. And so today is the opportunity for you to acknowledge before Christ that you want your heart set on Him again. That you want forgiveness for whatever you've faced. For whatever you've fallen back on. You want to reach for Him again. So in this moment, I'm going to ask you to reach for Him again. As we go through life, we can get the Word of God by sitting and reading the Bible. We can get parts of the Word of God and interpretations on it by sitting down and turning on the TV and watching a sermon on TV. But what we cannot get by sitting at home on Sunday mornings is the family coming around us and praying for us and helping us in our times of need. We cannot get that unity from the box that gives off light. We need each other. The prayers, the gathering of two or three in the name of Jesus Christ avails much. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the Word that You've given to us. Your active Word. The loving message that it holds of what Jesus has done for each one of us. And the assurance that we can have in knowing what our eternity will look like. I ask for Your mercy upon the hearts in our gathering today that acknowledge right now that not everything in our heart has been set on You. That there's been sin in our heart, there's been division in our heart, there's been anger in our heart, there's been hurt, there's been frustration. But Lord God, our desire is to have our heart set completely on You. And to know without a shadow of a doubt that You are the one we're following. That when our last breath comes, it won't be a sad moment in our heart, but a joyous experience as we see Your hand stretch out to welcome us into eternity with You. Father God, we ask for Your mercy. We ask for Your grace. We ask for the salvation that is promised to all who believe in You. We acknowledge You today as our Lord and Savior. You've saved our soul, and You're leading us through these days. Please stand strong in our hearts. Please speak through Your Holy Spirit, guiding our ways, our thoughts, our actions. When the temptations come to go the other way, help us to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, the promptings in our heart, that there's something wrong with that. Let's turn back to You and make sure that we're going the right direction, because we want to be with You in eternity. Father God, lift us up today. Encourage us and help us to know You as our Lord and Savior, the ruler of our lives, and the blessing of our eternity waiting. In Your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and thank You. Amen.